Then talk a little bit about, but probably we'll talk about Tanina just a little bit more, or a little bit, I should say, today as well. Okay, so before we get to that, just to clarify and add a couple of quick points. So first of all, we had some confusion about the Gemara in Ksuvos on Yud Tes Amud Beis. So yeah, that's a very important Gemara as Tosfos quotes. I think we were trying to figure out whether it went on the Reish or the Seifa, but I think Akiva is certainly correct. It goes on the Seifa. It doesn't really matter because it's the same. I mean, well, if it went on the Reish, it would be a bigger Hiddish. But just to read the Gemara, I mean, the Tosfos on Yud Ches on the Beis in Ksuvos, as we discussed, wants to know why Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir would have impact. Right, that's the Tosfos' question. Why would Peshas or Peshahitir have impact? This is Hare Elu Nemanim, right? Bin Tomar, Lama Nemanim Hamigo B'makom Edimu. Danan Sadeh Shelo Hayonis. And that's, of course, a very strong... What we're doing with these topics is trying to figure out, you know, two things, essentially. And it is difficult to pin down, but in broad terms, I think we outlined, you know, what the approach is. Number one, obviously, the best, kind of proof is the substantive proof. That's if we can really, try to determine as best as, as accurately as we can, whether or not the self-defense mechanisms of Reish Lakish are applying, in an Eidus type way or in a, Chazaka type way. And part of that, so there are some substantive issues connected with that, things like, oh, does this have anything to do with Migo B'Malkum Chazaka, and so on. Again, aside from the wild card of the linchpin, to the Eidos, that you don't get to the Eidos until you get to the Umdana, but that we discussed. So those are substantive questions. And then in addition to that, there are some linguistic questions, just like what are you calling this thing? So calling the defense mechanism of Reish Lakish vis-a-vis Anusim, Ketanim, Pesulim, calling that Migu B'Mokom Edim, again, you can always say Edim Labdafka and Ansadi, but certainly it's a very strong language, and that's what Tosfos is saying. Even if you have, a Migu or Pesha Asar, if it's against Edim, that would seem to be very formidable. That's how they're describing the mechanism that defends against the Nusim, and the Raya that they bring is from Yud Tes Amud Beis. So again, the Raya here, anyways, I wanted to quote that Tosa Rosh that I mentioned the other day in Reb Chaim Insights. I'll get to back this in a minute. Anyway, Tana Rabbanan Shnayim Chos Mimal Ashtar, right, Umesu, Ubo Shnayim Minashuk, the Amru Yadanu Sheksav Yadam Hu, right, aval anusim ayuktanim hayu psule edus hayu. That's the reisha. So the reisha, basically, you have, the equivalent of a pesha asar, but this is again not the baldavar, and it's not the edim themselves. It's two other edim, and that might matter a lot, as we'll discuss in a minute. But either way, the question is the two external, let's say, edim, are attacking the kashrus of the shtar in terms of ksav yadam, and the Gemara says that hara elu, nemanim. So in that case, they're nemanim. That's pesha asar plus, trei, right, against the taina, of Reish Lakish to defend. And then the next case is vim yeshem sheksav yadam muzeh osho ksav yadam meltzim b'makom acher, right, mishtar shekorel of irur. So that's just, you eliminate the Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir. So that's just Shnayim Edim against Reish Lakish, right? And then the Gemara says about that, Ein Elu Neman. Right, so initially, it sounds like the Kat Edim against Reish Lakish, right, is a win for the Kat Edim. That's where they read the Gemara. And then the Gemara says, U'magbinabeh, Kibishtara Ma'alya, right? Amai Trey Ninu. So this is on the Seifa, that's correct, without the Pesha Asar. But the point of Tosis is that, you know, when the Gemara wants to, you know, raise this question, you know, we say, you know, it's a case of not being Naaman, and then the Gemara says, it's not Naaman, and you're going to treat, despite the attack, you know, you're going to treat this, you know, as if it's a regular shtar, as if there is no attack, you're going to completely ignore, you know, the Edim. So again, the Gemara could have said, right, you know, you have, you know, a Reish Lakish, you know, an ink on a piece of paper, you know, and it's propped up by Umdanos, and maybe, you know, it's Lavdavka, it's either virtual or Lavdavka, and then you have Shnayim Edim, the highest form of Edim against that, and you're going to be Gova with that. But that's not what the Gemara says. Even when the Gemara is focusing on, you know, supporting the, you know, external Edim, and weakening the Shtar, the Gemara is still calling Reish Lakish Treya Trey. So that is the Raya of Tosis. And then the Gemara answers what it answers, but it doesn't retract either, you know, that it's a Sufek or something else. That's a continuation of the Gemara Daf Kaf Amud Aleph. And that's what the Gemara, that's what Tosis on Yud Chesed Beis says in terms of the Maskana. But we'll get back to this in a minute, because either way we'll talk about Reb Chaim for a minute. So that's what the question is. And Gemara uses that, but again, this is a terrific Tosis, because Tosis is being medayik, you know, not from the din of the Gemara only, but from the language of the Gemara. The Gemara, see, it's two completely different cases, right? The Seifa is a case where there's no migu, right? As Akiva correctly said, it's trei, and yet it's being called, you know, the first one, of course, is trei, but the second one is being called trei. And what Tosis is interested in is, even if there is a migu, why wouldn't that be migu b'makom, you know, eidim? So that is a linguistic question. It's only because the Gemara is calling it eidim, you know, that and treating it as eidim. That's the only thing that could fight off, presumably, other eidim. So that is an important Tosis. So what is Tosis' answer to that? As we explained, kima ditzrichu chachamim kiyum, hachalo koshiv klal kiyum, ma she'omrim ksav yadeinu huzeh, kima de'inu gufayu, omrinan toch ne'edim, or ketanim anus, we'll get back to this in a second, avala kamon chashvinan kishnei edim, kima de kvar mekuyamu, that's of course correct, I mean it's a second case, so it is kvar mekuyam, sheksav yadon yotzen imakom acher. Okay? So, that's how to read the Gemara, and that's why it's a very, very important case. However, what I wanted to just add, I think I alluded to this the other day, is that there are two things. So what Tosis is basically saying is that the Yisod is correct, and the reason that, you know, this is not a Migu B'Mokom Eidim, it is really a Migu B'Mokom Eidim, but, you know, if the question was, like, overriding the Eidim, it actually wouldn't work. We would reject it. But the Pesha also Pesha Hitir, even though it's B'Mokom Eidim, still leaves you short of a kiyum when you need it. And as such, that is the reason why, you know, that's why the, you know, the side of the Pesha Asar is going to win. It's not winning because the Pesha Asar defeats, you know, the other side. It's because, you know, in the end of the day, the Pesha Asar, right, leaves you without kiyum. So I wanted to just, I was alluding to this the other day, but just to make it clearer for the moment, I think there are two issues in Tosis, and that's why other Rishonim give other answers, and I think even on the Tosis and the Daf here, you know, there are other answers, and we'll get to Reb Chaim, you know, who is very sensitive to this, basically works with this Tosis to try to explain the Rambam, which we'll get to in just a minute. So I think there are two points here. One is that a Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir itself, you know, is qualitatively different than a Migu, as we discussed. In general, as I said, there are, you know, two, I guess, three categories you could speak about, but there are, of course, many more, because there are all sorts of cases in Migu. You know, Migu Midabal and Dabar, Migu Da'aza, you know, and so on and so forth. But let's just, you know, keep it simple for the moment. Like, you have a typical migu, which means that, you know, taina, the taina that you, you know, ignore, you know, the taina that you could have been towing, right, would win the day. In some cases of migu, it's a superior taina too. In some cases, it would win the day. It would win the day because it's superior, or it would win the day because it, you know, it's attractive in a different way, or it doesn't matter. Even if it's less attractive, it would still win the day. That's the big debate within migu. But basically, the idea of migu is somehow, you know, that it gives power to the taina in whatever way, whether it's a birur way or a you know, or just, you know, makes him kind of like a bailim. We call it the schusataina or kohataina, whatever it is. The idea is that migu is something that strengthens the taina, and therefore that stronger taina overrides its opposition. That's typically migu. Now, migu dibay shasik, if that's, you know, what you want to call, you know, many cases of peshas and peshahiter, is a much more compelling migu, but it remains mostly a migu. Meaning it's more compelling because, you know, you don't need to say anything. You could just be Shabbal Tasa, right? And, you know, as we saw the other day in Tosis, even if you're talking about, like, coordinating, you know, stories, like, with between two Edim or two Baledinim, etc., Migu Dibay Shasek maybe can do that because all you need to do is just, you know, Shabbal Tasa. So for various reasons, Migu Dibay Shasek is both more compelling and more effective as a migu, but it's within the worldview of migu, which is, namely, it strengthens, you know, your taina. But what Tosis is saying here sounds like much, something more than that, and that's where, you know, peshas and peshahiter might just be another way of saying migu dibay shasik, and it is qualitatively, you know, a better migu, or maybe it's a better migu dibay shasik slash peshas and peshahiter. Maybe it's even qualitatively different than migu, but within the migu world, like I said before. Like, maybe migu is more like a skusataina, and peshasa or peshahiter slash migu dibay shasik is more like, you know, a birur. It proves you're an ishnama, and it gives you more credibility. Okay, and these are massive topics in Balbasra and Ksuvas and Babnitsiya, but I'm just trying to give you a small picture. However, here comes the punchline. The other possibility is that peshasar is qualitatively different, not as a migu, but as a mechanism, you know, just to define, you know, your taina, not to define the strength of your taina, but, you know, to kind of refine what it is that you're saying. Meaning the idea of peshas and peshahiter, which wouldn't be captured by the words migu dibay shasik, is the idea that either we accept what you're saying or we don't. But we don't palginan, you know, dibure it, just to use another expression, right? We don't say, oh, you said two things here, pesha asar, and you said pesha hitir. Because you said pesha asar, that gives greater credibility to your pesha hitir. That's the migu kind of approach to pesha asar, pesha hitir. But the qualitatively distinctive way of saying it is pesha asar, pesha hitir. Meaning you don't have a comma between the Pesha Asar and the Pesha Hitir, right? It's all one Muvla statement. And the point is that, you know, you made a statement. So either we accept the totality, you don't break the statement into a Resha, the Seifa, and the Resha, you know, builds credibility for the Seifa. There's no Resha, there's no Seifa. There's an integrated statement that you made. If we believe you, we believe what you say fully, and if we don't believe you, you know, then we don't. But, by the way, of course, this has to do also with the timing question, or might have to do with the timing question, right, about, you know, the Hebor, you know, things of that sort. So I think what Tosis is saying here is two things. Number one, the biggest chiddush of Tosis, of course, is that, yeah, this remains a migu, the migu keneged edim, and the keneged edim part, the Rish Lakish part, is what's so important, you know, here. But, of course, if that's the case, so, like, how does it work? So the answer is, it doesn't work through migu. It works by essentially leaving the shtar without the kiyum that it requires. But that's not true, because he admitted, you know, that it's, you know, not mezuyah. So that's what Tosa says. Since the way that he explained that it's not mezuyah was in the context of a pesha asar, kivin shetriku chachamim kiyum, right? Hacha lachashiv klal kiyum, mash omrim ksabe adenu huzeh, kivin deinu gufe amar toch kidei dibor, ktanim o anusim oyinu. Meaning, when you take the statement as a whole, right, he hasn't done kiyum and then added some other jarring, you know, note that we now either do or don't believe more. What he's done is, you know, he giveth and he taketh, you know, and therefore, you know, altogether, you know, he basically abstaineth. Yeah. So, what's lacking is kiyum. So the assumption here is also, number one, that Pesha Asar Pesha Yitir is working in that way, which is, you know, not accepted by everybody, but that's a massive machlokas rishonim, achronim, etc. But also the other assumption, of course, is that, that when you need kiyum, you need kiyum, and the absence of kiyum is going to undercut. Now, this thing that you need kiyum is also touching on, we've seen it already, a massive, massive machlokas. And it can also be said in different ways. So on the most extreme, when kiyum shtaros drabanan, or daraisa, even more so of course, but let's say even only drabanan, is required, as we say, there are always two ways you could look at it. And that is that in these particular circumstances, right, the shtar, you know, b'drabanan, the shtar requires kiyum, or otherwise it's a chas b'alma. So this goes to the, you know, to the heart of the chetzah shel shtar. You know, that's one extreme. And then, of course, the other extreme is, no, we'll be saving this extreme for the moment. Variations on this theme are, once there's a din of kiyum d'rabanan, and, you know, wherever you have it, we'll see, this is going to be critical for Tanina. So then, you know, it's a positive, the Chachamim have imposed a positive prerequisite, you know, of kiyum. In other words, it's a chas b'alma until you have kiyum. So the Ramban, you know, formulates it, Bali Tosa sometimes formulated this way as well. We've seen some of them. The Ramban famously in Bav Basra, Daf Ayin Omer Aleph, you know, that famous sugya, you know, Anusim or Exarti migudi boyomri anusim. So the Ramban formulates it that way, and many of the Chachmei Sfarad, you know, follow him. Actually, in the context of Tanina, and I'll explain more in just a couple of minutes. I say sometimes you have it in Bali Tosis as well. We saw it in the Ritzvah here, right on Dav Gimel, you know, Amud Aleph. Right. So and that's in a certain extreme that where you require, you know, kiyum shtaros, you know, derabanan, you know, what we're really saying is the absence of kiyum, there is no shtar. So another way to say that is midrabanan, they made a takana about shtaros to begin with, that without kiyum, it's not a shtar. And you're just lacking the asset or the positive, you know, wherewithal, you know, to win this case. However, you could, you know, tweak that somewhat and say, well, the Chachamim didn't say that every shtar is a chas b'alma until, you know, you have the, you know, authentication, you know, to establish it as a shtar. But what they did say is that any time where there's a requirement, you know, when any time where you're choshesh for either that there might be or for an error, right, then it becomes a prerequisite, you know, of chas b'alma. That's a kind of a tweaked. That will also have consequences. So, for example, right here, when Tosa says, you need kiyum, right? Are they saying every shtar needs kiyum because of kiyum shtaros drabanan, and it's a chas b'alma, and therefore there's no shtar? Or are they saying, in this particular case, where there is some sort of, you know, requirement of kiyum, the kiyum's role, right, not responding to that, you know, constitutes an absence. It's not that, oh, you have to you know, as a, well, it's a minute, that requires a chaspiyah. The contrary way to look at that is, no matter what you say about Kiyum Shtar Rabbanan, Reish Lakish is always alive and well. It's always a Chetzah Shel Shtar. Not only Doraisa, but even Darabanan. Right? However, the Chachamim, you know, either as a positive, you know, as a Ma'akev, or just because technically they're concerned about the actual Chashash itself. So, you know, that gets magnified, and you need to neutralize that. So whether it's a, you know, even that two formulations, Koach Ha'ikuv, even though there is a shtar isn't good enough. It's not a chaspa b'alma. Some aspects of it, you know, remain effective. However, in order to use it, right, there are still ikuvim. Or it isn't even that. It's never that. It's always, the chachamim are just telling you that even though Reish Lakish is all-powerful, you know, midoraisa, let's say, that midrabanan, you need to solve these chashashos. But even when you need to solve the chashashos, it isn't even that, you know, the kiyum is a ma'ake, the kiyum is the way, but there may be other ways also to solve the problems. I'm trying to leave room for things that we're about to encounter. Okay, so that, I think what Tosis is saying here, on some level, is A, the din of Pesha Asar, you know, is a single statement, and therefore you're lacking, not a Reish and a Seifa, and therefore you're lacking kiyum. And you need kiyum in a positive way here, right? Either in general, kiyum shtar rabbanan, or at least in cases where there's a chiyuv kiyum, it becomes, you know, a positive requirement. Yeah?
In the cases where the chachamim would require kiyum, would that be because they're creating some sort of like halos on the shtar to say it's like positively chasa ba'alma, or would they be like activating that through some sort of like virtual or like
so, right, that's kind of the difference between the things that I'm saying. In other words, are they always anticipating error and saying, well, you've got to solve that? Here there's a, you know, it's shchiach, the error, or, you know, this the devastating consequence of an error, if there will be one, is such that we can't, you know, take a chance, and therefore you need to neutralize it right off. But they're never, ever going so far as to touch the kashrus or the chefs of the shtar. Or are they actually saying, you know, kehai gavna, because of these factors, or maybe just across the board, you know, that it's a chas v'yam. So really, what I'm talking about here is two different questions, which also may be very related, but don't have to be very related. Namely, one is, you know, does kiyum shtaros ever affect the chetza shel shtar? Yes or no? B, you know, can it ever, you know, how connected is it to, you know, the strength of an error or the, you know, devastating, you know, consequences of there being, you know, an error. In other words, mostly is kiyum shtaros about a standard, or is kiyum shtaros about, like, the wherewithal, as I say, to neutralize, you know, a certain kind of problem? And that's exactly what you're asking, and that's exactly what I'm trying to point out. Yeah, you had a question, did you, or we solved it?
I think we're
good. Okay, good. I'm still worried about Justin, you know. He could strike at any time, and he basically told me that, right?
What?
But you basically told me that. That he's reserving, 7 minutes? 10 minutes? At any time that he could break it. Wow. He's like really keeping me on my toes.
I'm saving them.
What?
I said I'm saving them for the proper moment. You don't know.
No, for sure, for sure. That's what lethal attacks are. You know, the timing is everything. Anyways, okay. So that is number one. Number two. So that is very important. Number two. So connected to the Sugan Yod Tes on the base, just to finish off, again, there's so much more on this topic, but we do have to move on, and we want to move on, but it's really just, you know, it's like endlessly, you know, interesting. So the Tosas here, on Yud Tes Amud Beis, one second, two of them, two different Tosas, right? So let's stick with the first one. Vim ksav yad liyotsu mibakam acher, ein amanim. Psula edus diktani lo sheomrim shadayim psulim, dim kein amayin amanim. El psula edus hava oz viata modim shem shem. Right? Oh. So we discussed this the other day. Tosis is basically asking, and I told you it's very similar to the old Hakasha Hazama question, meaning Edus Alagabra, in a Salagabra, you know, is never trey utrey. You know, that's, you know, basically what the, you know, what the Ramban was trying to say about Hazama in Parshas Shoftim, right? If you come and you tell, say, two people that, you know, Imanu Ayisem, Ba'oso Mokom, that means that they're liars by implication, right? Then it's the equivalent, says the Ramban, of saying, Haragtem es hanefesh and Chilaltem es haShabbos. Now that's a very strong comment, right? But it's what the Ramban says. And as I think I mentioned, you know, that's part of the story. For example, Akhashat Kilos Hazama, you know, and again, the Chiddush of Hazama is, you know, it's kind of Gzeiras HaMelech, and it really is a form of Hakhasha, but, which I believe is mostly Shitas HaRambam, or like the Ramban, you know, that it really is, you know, different, you know, and that's the Pshat in the Gemara, the Mishnah, that, you know, the way the Rabbi Chananel reads it in Makos, you know, that you're, in Hazama you're attacking the Edim, in Hakhasha you're attacking the Edus, so you can understand that in Edus Mishtar, this might be, you know, for a very different reason, an interesting issue and question, you know, as well. Ah, so again, Tosis's and the Ritva and most of the Rishonim are of the opinion here that you know, whether or not Kabbalah Seidus is on the Gabra or Kabbalah Seidus is on the Shtar doesn't depend only on the content of the attack. You might have said, well, it always depends on what the accusation is. Like if two Edom come to court and they say these two people are liars, you know, then, you know, it's either way, Edus ala Gabra, whether they're alive or they're not alive. The Chiddush of Tosis and the Chiddush of the Ritva is that timing and so on, you know, can be a factor in determining, like, how we define that Edus. Edus on the, you know, Edus against the Cheptashel Edus, or Edus against the Gavra Edim. It's not objectively, you know, what they're saying. It's legal significance, and therefore how it is received. That's Chiddush. But what I suggested the other day is that there may be another answer to this question, because in the end of the day, let's remember that Tosis's answer is still a Hecha Timtzi. Right? Tosis is saying, and the Ritva's answer, their answers are, yes, this doesn't, this Gemara, basically, does not apply in all circumstances. It only applies, you know, when there's a, either, you know, the Edom are no longer alive, or the Edom, you know, legal status as kosher Edom has changed. And that's obviously bedochak. Now again, if that's the only way to read the Gemara, because we've eliminated, you know, any other plausible, you know, legal explanation, so then, you know, that becomes the best shot in this Gemara. And that's fine. And that's what Tosa says. That's what the Ritva says. That's what most of Rishonim say. But certainly, you know, if we had our druthers, we wouldn't read the Gemara that way. We'd say that the Gemara doesn't qualify. And therefore, the Gemara is talking about all circumstances. And then, Hodra Kushya Leduch, that we need to answer this question. So what I was pointing out is that the Tosa Rush, I don't know if anybody got a chance to check up on it. Justin, you didn't check up on it?
No.
Good answer. Okay. Yeah. So the Tosa Rush has this line. Again, I have the, like, you know, this personal version of the Tosa Rush. Literally, look at that. Wow. Is that his Ksaviyad or not?
Looks like it.
It looks, definitely not any print that we can. Okay. Back in the day when it was, you know, back in the 1800s when, you know, they weren't really publishing books so much, you know, so when Tosa Rush published this and he sent it to my home, so this is how it looked. So again, but this is what I think it says. First of all, Treya Trey Ninu, Upsule Edus de Ka'amri, right? Lav de Hava Upsule Edus Akshav, first he's starting with Tosas, Dimkein Mai Kaparich, base utreinenu, or to speak, trey utreinenu, right? Adaraba, psulin legamri, right? And then he adds, this is just, you know, this doesn't change the shita, but it shows what he's thinking already. Dilo adifi edich asumim alashtar, mimasha yomdim lefanenu, davamotzi omri, psulim heim, right? So by adding that line, number one, that's like, food for thought, right? You say, don't think just because this is Eidus Bishtar, not Eidus Alper, so the status of some of two Eidim coming to court and being made that they're gazlanim or they're anusim or they're whatever, psulim, you know, doesn't count. Ooh, that was bad. One second. I lost it. Just give me a second. Oh, back, okay. Right? Why would it make a difference? The answer is, you know, because Eidim Achsum Lashtar Nasa Kanishu Nachkori Jusim Bebezdin, either there is no Gabra Eidim, this is what I was saying the other day, or there's only Chepta Shel Eidus, or since the focal point is not so much what they see and what they speak about, but the, you know, Chepta Shel Eidus itself, even if there are Gabra Eidim, but maybe the Kabbalah Seidus is about the Chepta Shel Eidus, because that's always what Reish Lakish is about. So I think in the continuation, he says, Elohochi Kamar, and then he says what Tosa says. Then he says, Veli Nira, Dafilo Amrinan, Psule Eidusheim, Gamachshav, this is what we're looking for, meaning there's no qualification in the case. Lo, something, lo, is it up there?
Yeah.
They probably better with that one. Takes all the fun. Lo mehemdi, okay. Lifsol hashtar, shaharei, minadin, afal bishak sabyonim yotsu bimakom acher, hayalanu lahamin laachronim. This is terrific. Sharei elad boim lezayiv chasimasam, right? Ella, megarin hashtar bimsul acher. Meaning, if this was a clash about ziyuv, so then there's a, you know, you say, oh, they're Mekayim Lishtar, Sabyonim Yotsum Makom Acher, that we care, because the issue is about Ziyu. Right? But that's not what's happening here. They're basically not saying Mizuya. So Sabyonim Yotsum Makom Acher isn't directly, you know, neutralizing what they're saying. Elim Megara Nishtar B'Psul Acher, they're saying, you know, they were Rishayim or whatever, or Tanim. I nonetheless hide the lo mehemni hide the tama da anan sadi shekol star shenichta v'nechta below shum psul nechta below shum psul nechta should be a comma after the first v'nechta below shum psul nechta hilkach apilu amri nami psule eidus heim right gamachshav meaning they're alive and they're still psulim lo mehemni lipsal hashtar kivin iksav yadam yotzi yubakam acher.
So what's he really saying? He's basically pointing to the mystery of Reish Lakish. He's basically saying, well, one would have thought that, you know, whether Ksavyana Yotzim B'Malkam Acher or not Yotzim B'Malkam Acher, that, you know, this has nothing, what does it have to do with Reish Lakish and the authenticity of the Shtar? So I think what the Tosa Rush is struggling to say is exactly what he was doche to begin with, either because of the Kabbalah Seidus aspect of it, or because of the Chepta Shel Eidus versus the Gabra Eidim part. But either way, what he's saying is that if two Eidim come to court and they say about the two Eidim who signed a shtar that they are Rishayim, right? That the Reish Lakish and the reality of, you know, how this all self-protective mechanism works, etc., somehow that determines that we don't treat this as Eidus ala Gabra, Haraktem es hanefesh, chilaltem es hashabbos, right? We treat it as trei utrei. Yeah.
If it's really a chevta of Eidus, so why is it even trei utrei? Why wouldn't we just say the chevta of Eidus has no shaykh?
No, because you still have two other Eidim. The two other Eidim are not...
But they're not,
you
saying,
know, they're not chicken soup either. I mean, they're two Eidim. It's at least trei utrei.
But their Eidus is just to say that the Gavras were psulim, but how is that shaykh to the...
They're saying the Gavras are psulim, and therefore, according to them, the Eidus is corrupt. And the Eidus is saying about itself, no, it's not corrupt, we're not corrupt. Right? It is very much like Hakasha in that. Meaning, when two people come to court and they say about two other Eidim, Hakasha, like, and they don't say, you know... You know, you were under a lot of pressure. You saw. They say you're a liar. That didn't happen.
you know, they don't say that didn't happen because you were with us, you know, in Chicago. They say it didn't happen because it didn't happen, right? Or we saw the same thing you saw, and that's not what happened. So aren't they also implicitly saying, you know, that you're a liar? The answer is yes. However, it's since it's hakhasha be'edus, right? So mostly, you know, it's trey and trey. And that's exactly what's happening here. Yeah. Yehuda. What? Yes, so I'm going to get to that in just a second. Okay, go ahead. And then I want to talk about Memtel. You mean the Balbasra? Yeah, go ahead. And then I want to talk about the other Rabbeinu Yonah. Kufnun.
Your mother was talking about
Moda.
Moda. And I was wondering why, in some cases, it seems like Moda would work negatively, but some in other cases it wouldn't work. And the Gemara is compelled between Jesus Alta, where there's Moda Alta versus
Moda. That's where the phrase, and this is so crucial, that's where the phrase Lo Osi Alpe Umara Lishtara comes from. It comes from the sugya in Bava Basra, Mem Tesam and Aleph with Moda. Right. Now the question is, before you continue, because I want to get this in anyway, because we're going to get to it in a second, does that mean anything more, you know, than the usual Reish Lakish? Or is that a particularly strong form of Reish Lakish? Or what does it mean? Lomara Alpe, I'm sorry, you know, yeah, what does that mean? Go ahead. Yeah. So what do you want?
So you really highlight the Kvalzidus.
It's exactly.
It's really just based on the fast.
And there's sort of Ben Yonah's understanding that, you know, lo osi edus al peh umara lishtara, you know, as being like an acute expression of Reish Lakish,
yeah.
Which we'll see in a moment. Which, by the way, this idea, you know, that, you know, that the alimus of edus bishtar for some of these dinim. So again, just to, you know, this Tosa Rush, I think, is a terrific example of it, however you want to explain it. The Rabbeinu Yonah is very good. But it also works very nicely with the discussion we had about Ein Shabbat Mutasa Batla Kula. If you remember, Rabbeinu Yonah and Bava Basra were saying, like, you know, what's the difference between Eidus Bishtar, Aksum and Malashar, Nas Kamishinech, but it's low, is it better than, right, remember? Is it better than Eidus Alpeh? And then he goes on to say, yeah, but the Gonim seem to think, you know, maybe it is. And we'll see in a moment Rabbeinu Yonah's discussion of Amona and Moda on Kufnun Dawid, where he's also making, it's hard to know 100%, but I'll explain that in just a minute. So I do think, and then this also goes to my suggestion about the Baal Amor back in the day, about Hazama Bishar, you know, for a very similar reason. So we're kind of bringing all those things together. Yeah.
Can you explain specifically why, where in this Rabbeinu Yonah do we see Reish Lakish being emphasized?
Well, I think what he's saying is that he doesn't say the words Reish Lakish, but he's taking very seriously, you know, the idea that Kimishinekru I do some Bebezdin, you know, in Eidos Shebishtar, you know, and therefore only Eidos Bishtar against Eidos Bishtar has the same kind of ability, you know, to neutralize. But we'll get back when I get to the other brain, you know, I'll speak about more. But before I get to that, I want to speak about Reb Chaim for a minute. So this idea in Tosis on Yud, now getting back to Tosis on Yud Chesam of Beis, you know, before I do that, so let's, well, okay. So the last thing that we were discussing on Tuesday, and then I'll get back to this, because one leads into the other, just organization, was a relationship to Shtar Amana and Moda'a, and a little bit Tanai. Because as we've been discussing all along, right, you have a whole slew of, I've made this topic into, Reish Lakish, and his impact on, the self-defense, of sharks. Right. And one of the things that we've been, investigating, are all charges, against the shtar. Is every effort, to defend the shtar, the same or not? So we have, lo kasavti, kasavti viziyafti, or kasavti v'kasavti b'sheker. Yeah, those distinctions are already in part of the discussion of the Or Zeruah and so on. Then we have, Amana. I'm sorry, then we have Anusim and Psulim, and then we have things like Tnai Hoya B'Dvarenu, we'll see in a moment, Shchiv Meira Hoyisi, of course, Shtachov Yari my boy, and of course, Amana or Kasavti, Lelavos Velo Lavisi, which is parallel, I guess, to Amana, a little bit different. As well. So you have all these different cases, and in all these cases there is evidence that, there are discussions in the Gemara, in the second parak of Ksuvis, the discussion about Amana and Moda'a, is again, Bambasher Mem Tesam and Aleph, and also, in addition to Yud Tesam and Beis in Ksuvis, you also have Kuf Nun Dalid Omen Aleph. The Mishnah in Bava Basra speaks about, Machlokas Rameir and Chachamim. When you have a shchiv meira, right? Somebody who was in question is, did he give the present b'toras shchiv meira? In which case, it's not chal. It doesn't say that anywhere in the contract. So do we assume bari, or not? So that's a discussion there. And there too, the Gemara, associates. In all these cases, we have discussions. Some of them, include Rav Meir and the Chachamim. And specifically, Moda B'Shtar Shekosu V'Tzorech, L'Kaimo. And there's also some mixed evidence that we don't treat everything exactly the same. That's the Bikitzur truth, without going again into all the Gemaras or further into some of the ones that we didn't go into, right? When it comes to, does Rav Meir all say about everything Moda B'Shtar Shekosu, Ein Tzorech L'Kaimo? Do the Chachamim say about everything Moda B'Shtar Shekosu, the equivalent Tzorech L'Kaimo? Right? Or not. Or let's say, you get it in both directions. So the tendency of many of the Rishonim, of course, beginning with Bali Tosis, who are trying to square all of these sugyas, is to say, yes, it's all the same. Okay. And here and there, the Bali Tosis and other Rishonim have to agree that maybe it's not the same. And then the question is, what are the distinctions, and what is the basis of the distinctions? So if there are distinctions, first of all, the distinctions could go in either direction, as we've already seen. Are we more makel or more is the Reish Lakish more effective or less effective as you move away from the core dinim of the shtar, to the more extraneous aspects, whether it's, again, the shtar kabyadi or shlichus or moda'a or Tanai or Shchiv Meira, etc. That's question number one. And question number two is, of course, these distinctions are based on what? So that some people think the distinctions are based on, the technical, forces that are arrayed against each other. Like, how strong is the umdana of Moda'ar, as opposed to Amana, as opposed to Tznai, as opposed to, Shchiv Meira, as opposed to Shtar Chabiyoni, my boy, as opposed to, Psulim, as opposed to Ziyuv, right? If we had, in a perfect world, and we had all the information, available to us of all the Rishonim, and we could make, again, one of these massive charts so that we could, measure, the Umdana value, let's say, of all these various things, that would be very helpful, but we would see that some of the Rishonim, in order to get out, in order to solve seeming discrepancies in this issue, you know, both for a mayor and for the Chachamim, are making these distinctions. Okay, some of them are also, you know, making them in opposite ways. Another possibility, right, is also on the more technical side, but not completely technical, and that is, oh, maybe a lot of this stuff is about the issue that we talked about a minute ago, which is Kiyum Shtaros. Like if Midrabanan, or in some cases Midaraisa, but especially Midrabanan, let's leave it in a simpler way, you need Kiyum Shtaros in certain cases, so what can accomplish Kiyum Shtaros short of, you know, two Eidim coming to court, or Ksav Yadon, Yotzei Mimakom Acher, you know, etc. When we're talking about, you know, the, you know, mode of the Lova, or the testimony of other Eidim, or saying Ksav Yadon Hu Aval, whatever, so whether that, you know, what do you need in terms of Kiyum Shtaros Derabanan? That goes to what we talked about before. Is it a chaspa b'yalma whenever you need it, and you need everything? Or is it the opposite? It's always just to neutralize, you know, not even an actual, but a chashash, let's say, or something in between where you need it, it becomes chaspa b'yalma, or and so on and so forth. And, you know, things like what we talked about a minute ago, like a migu, you know, a pesha asar, you know, can you get, you know, kim shtaros, you know, without taking the package of the implication of what the people are saying. Okay, so these are two, now that's not a technical issue, that is a Kiyum Shtaros issue too, and so, you know, it's not technical about the Pesha Asar, it's not technical about certain dinim of the Kiyum Shtaros, as opposed to the first perspective, which is, you know, how strong are the umdana'os, you know, of these various things. But again, it still has very little to do with Reish Lakish, you know, per se. And the third option, which is the one that, you know, I'm definitely partial to, or most interested in establishing, you know, if you take Reb Chaim's perspective, which has strong roots in the Rishonim, clearly, of Reish Lakish, namely that this is Eidus, and again, acknowledging that there's a bit of a, you know, linchpin problem here, because it's only Eidus with the, you know, attached Umdana, but okay, getting past that problem. So then the question might really be, you know, this question of, you know, what is intrinsic, what is extrinsic, or the madregos of Reish Lakish. You know, Reish Lakish is like, you know, totally protective, you know, of core things. You know, what about catch 22 core things, mezuyaf? What about, you know, other core things? And then what about the different madregos of Reish Lakish's protection, you know, when it comes to things, factors that will, you know, hinder, you know, gvia, or the effectiveness, or the unqualified effectiveness of the shtar, but aren't per se, you know, things that have to do necessarily with the shtar, shlichos, the shtar chavyani, my boy, you know, tanai, shchid meira, etc. And also there could be like an assessment a little bit of those things too. Like if, you know, if somebody gives a matana, b'shchid meira, you know, is that like a Tanai problem, or is that a more basic problem? Shtarchav Yadim Boy, we already talked about, you know. Moda is a great example, you know. Moda means like, you know, the whole thing ends up being like the equivalent of Anusim, you know, not on the Adam level, but let's say on the Baal level. Or no, it's a Mafgia, it's a Poter. That's something we talked about at the very, very last shir, maybe, in Cheskes Abatim, or at least I was raising it. We're talking about, you know, Kfiya. Okay, so then, you know, going, you know, through these sugyas in Bava Basra and in Ksubis and in Gittin and a little bit of Bava Metzia, etc., you know, becomes about creating that hierarchy, you know, A, for what, how these things are perceived in terms of the effect that they have, and you know, for our purposes even more, you know, how much does the Eidos Shev Shtar, you know, extend to that? How easy is it to reassess whether the Eidos Shev Shtar are really talking about that, you know, under these conditions? So that is, of course, where Tosus on Yud Tes Amud Beis comes in. This is one of the play. If you look, when it comes to Amana and Moda, so you have the Gemara here on Yud Tes Amud Beis, the Sugya in Bava Basra, on Kuf Nun Dalid, You have these Gemaras, you know, again, the Sugyan Mem Tesam and Aleph in Bava Basra and Katzkas Abatim. And that's what I was reading the other day, I think at the end of last year, that's what Tosis and some of the Rishonim are suggesting, right? That even if you hold, you know, Moda Bishtar Shekosvu, you know, Torah Lekaimo, when it comes to Moda, Shuvla Osi Alpeh Umara Lishtare Afilu Bemigu V'lodomi lanusim uktanim, right? Dimas nisin she'ein modim shayishtar kosher klal ela sosrin oso hukach mehem de bemigu de lo shayich kan lomer lo osi alpeh umara lishtare. So again, this phrase, you know, lo osi alpeh umara lishtare that we were talking about a second ago in Balvasr, Mem Tesam and Aleph, you know, starts creeping up in some of these lishonos, right, in a very interesting way. And I think typically what it really means is like a super Reish Lakish. Okay. So having said that, I wanted to bring in two other things, you know, to finish all of this. So one is the Rabbeinu Yonah in Bava Basra. So he has some interesting formulations in that Sugyan Kuf Nun Dalet. Right? And, you know, again, some of it is another Rishonim, and some of it is unique to his presentation. It's a very long, he has it, and then he came back to it. You saw it, did you? Yeah. Well, it's fascinating, because he came back to it after, you know, after he finished the Masechta, you know. He said, I didn't do a good enough job on that. I have to revisit that issue. Which means that it was, like, really on his mind and troubling him. But what he's really trying to do, is the same thing that Tosis is trying to do in Ksuvas, you know, and Bava Basra also, but he just does it much more extensively, and he has some other interesting wrinkles, and that is there an equation between Amana and Anusa? Right, and by extension, if you're Mechalek, you know, in the Sugya and Bava Basra between Moda'a, you know, and Anusim, I'm sorry, and Amana, you know, so what's that distinction about as well? So he starts off, and again, so he has this presentation on Kufna Dalinowid base, right? Pirish, Shimeshim, Shemidim, Shushtar, Pasim, Oshtar, Mana, Nemanim. He starts off assuming they're the same, which is, of course, the default way of legal thinking, right? You have comparable cases, let's assume they're the same, until you can't justify the discrepancy, you know, in which case you're either going to neutralize it in a more technical way, Eichetimtzis, you know, umdanos, right? Or distinctions that are a little more, you know, or bigger distinctions, and that's going to be, you know, something like Leishak. So I said, Afilim Ksavyonim Otz Bishtar Yotzim Makamaker Davlush Edim Shabishtar The Edim Elu Shemidim Shushtar Mala Treyu Trey Amrinan Uki Trey Labahadi Trey Vyukar. So his first assumption, right, is to treat Shtar Amana and the attack against Shtar Amana, even if Ksav Yadim Yotze Mimakom Acher, meaning there's no Migu, so you have two Edim who say Amana, right, and you have Reish Lakish defending. So the initial formulation of Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, you have some of this in Tosis too, is that's Trey or Trey. Where does that come from? From the Gemara and Ksuvas, but the Gemara and Ksuvas isn't about Amana. The Gemara and Ksuvas is about Psuli Eidos, right? Psuli Eidos is far more of a core problem, right, than the problem of Amana. Amana means that somebody who grew up a shtar, they're not implementing, you know, it's there to use, you know, he wanted to give the guy confidence. So that could be a kosher shtar, right? A shtar which is Nechta Maide Psulim. You know, Me'olam was never anything but a Chaspa B'Yalma. This is, now it's a Chaspa B'Yalma. It's a Chaspa B'Yalma or it's a Shtar in Waiting, right? The Dasan is Chayiv and the Chasim Asa'edim, all that is authentic. It could, you know, at any time, that's comparable to, we'll discuss this in a minute, you know, Kosov Lalavos, you know, Vadayin Lalava. Similar to that or better or worse, Amana. Hard to know, but very close. You could make the case in either way. So comparing the especially in light of what we just discussed, calling it even tray of tray, you know, is fascinating. So he says, ah, but that doesn't work in the Gemara. No, you'll do what the Gemara says. You'll, you know, it may look like we're saying nemanim. We don't really mean nemanim, right? What we really, really, really mean, or enam nemanim, sorry. But what we really mean is that it's trey trey and ukmi ara becheskas mare, and then he works on those issues. Miu lishna de halach achar ha'edim, right? Mashma sha'edim nemanim lagamri. It sounds like we not, you know, hamadas karka becheskas baleha. So, you know, can we just, you know, assume it's the same? Yeah, so what does he say? You did, yeah? If you got chesh lefarish. So now he's saying, oh, it will only work if there's really a migu, right? But if there's a migu, then it shouldn't work for Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir, you know, says modu b'shtar shekasu ein tzar b'kaimo, which means migu keneged reish lakish, we'll just, you know, always translate it that way for our purposes, you know, doesn't work. So how come migu keneged reish lakish when it comes to shtar amana would work? So here he makes a distinction between what? Between the Edom that themselves are trying to undermine the Shtar, as opposed to Edom Chitzonim, like a separate Edom. Oh. So this, you know, in theory, could, you know, be a fundamental distinction, a kind of like, you know, it's Kivchig and Shubin Chozer Magid. Maybe Reish Lakish's defense mechanism is different against two objective Edom, as opposed to the Baldavar or, and, you know, an attempted clarification of the Edom themselves. As it happens, and that would explain this phenomenon, and Misvara, that would also be very reasonable, frankly. The Rabbeinu Yonah initially doesn't go that way. What does he say? V'nirali, sheish lachriya mikan, kedivrei ha-mefaresh. He ruins it a little bit, right? In other words, he has a discrepancy, but he's not saying the differences between amana and anusim. He's saying the differences between, you know, the baldavar and the edom themselves and edom acher. Correct? Yeah. Go ahead. B'nirali,
sheish lachriya mikan, kedivrei ha-mefaresh. The time of the Rav Meir, the Amar Moda v'shar shakatu ein tzach l'kaimo.
So here, of course, again, this goes to the, you know, we didn't do this so thoroughly, but when we first encountered the Machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim, what we noted was, this could be this could be an argument about almost anything. Not almost anything. It could be a machlokas about Pesha Asar, right? It could be a machlokas about, you know, about the Koach of Pesha Asar. It could be a machlokas very specifically about, you know, the opposition to the Pesha Asar, in which case it might change in each case, meaning Mizuya, Amana, like one of the ranking of the umdanos, right? It could be a machlokas about Reish Lakish. But, you know, that's what I prefer. Meaning, is this Eidos? Is this Chazak? Right? Or about what it takes to disrupt Reish Lakish, even if it's Eidos. So what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is, oh, this distinction between Edim Acherim and Edim Atzmam / Baldavar. Like, the Gemara already makes a distinction between Edim and Baldavar. Picking up on this more. The Gemara makes a distinction by saying, how come you need Shtar Chabiyani, my boy? I'm sorry, how can you need the Machlokas, or Meir, and the Chachamim, you know, in both places? So the Gemara says, there's a difference between Edim and Baldavar. Rabbeinu Yonah is going a giant step further. He's saying, within Rav Meir, itself, there's still a distinction. There is actual, not just a habamina, but an actual distinction in terms of motive b'shtarcha kasvu tzarech l'kaim. But the reason is because he's saying because the umdana, you know, or the migu is the migu neged, you know, the umdana in this case is weaker. The migu is weaker, weakened by the strength of the. But that's only true for the baldavar or the edim atzmam because they have a lot to lose, right? The edim chitzonian, if they make a mistake, they make a mistake. Right, it's not going to tarnish. You'll say, oh, you're bad handwriting experts or whatever. But then he has a second possibility, which is more intriguing. He says, oh, this distinction would also work according to Rabbeinu Chanan. What does Rabbeinu Chanan say? Well, the time of the Rav Meir, that the Machlokas Rav Meir and the Chacham isn't about the clash between the relative strength of the Migu, you know, when the Kaina is Mizuyah. But what? Talmud Rav Meir, Damar, what does Rav Meir say? Kaina Mishum. Shekivin Shemodim, Shezek Sav Yadon. Right, Hanyaskayim. And Shuv Lo Asli Alpeo Mara Bishtara. The magic words, right? Meaning, so again, that's because that's closer to a kind of Reish Lakish thing. Right? You have it there, you did,
yeah?
So then he's saying, Kahid Perek Cheskes Abatim, that's where that Gemara comes from, like Yehuda was quoting before. Linen Edom Sharmodah Hayud Varenu. Now he's applying it to Amana. Right, we were talking before why it isn't even more than that. Why it isn't Edus, you know, alagat, which is interesting. He doesn't discuss that. But what he's saying is, now this actually makes a lot of sense. If you're talking about Reish Lakish and lo osi alpe umara lishtare. Right? So, you know, again, what rocks the world of Reish Lakish? What disrupts, you know, this the Eidos part of it being, you know, the defense mechanism? So for sure it makes sense to be Michalik, you know, between, you know, the comment of the Lova, the comment of the Edim Atzmam, as opposed to objective second-party Edim. That's never going to be less than Trey or Trey, like you're asking for. Okay, that's one. Then in the Hashmata B'Sofa Masechta, he says it has a different answer. You have that?
Yeah.
And again, people don't write Hashmatos in the end of the Masechta unless they're, you know, preoccupied. Go ahead. Mina, this is Rav Meir, right? Again, this is the same comparison. So this is me kicking in again. You know, it's like the line in the Tosfos HaRosh. You know, v'hachanami kimisadi. The Amri Shtar Amanahu. Stiras Edus Hashtar. Is that really Stiras Edus Hashtar in the same way that Psulim is? Right? I mean, he's saying it is. But, you know, when it's put that way, that's the genius of you know, formulating things sometimes. It triggers, you know, pushback. Right? Like when you see it, you say, Shtar Amana is not Stiras Edus Hashtar. Right, unless again the Eidus Shebishtar is about effectiveness, not about just authenticity. In one case, you're saying this was never a shtar. In the other case, you're saying it's a shtar in abeyance. It's an impending shtar or a potential impending shtar. Potential impending shtar is not a chas b'alma. Right, a shtar that is signed by Edim Psulim is a chas b'alma. So is Reish Lakish the same on that? Okay. Go ahead, Lokasha. So the first answer is, Yeah, it is. It's trey, and it's like the Gemara there, even though it doesn't say it here, but divya Gemara aniyan b'makom echad v'ashir b'makom acher. If you're going to plug in, you know, Baba Basra and Tiksuvas, so you're going to get the Gemara's answer, it's going to be Chazaka. Good. Fine. However, again, it doesn't say that in the Gemara. So wouldn't we prefer a solution which basically says that even though it's trey in Amana, right, when it comes to, I'm sorry, if trey in Anusim, when it comes to Amana, maybe it's not trey, maybe, you know, the, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
The Odir Shlomo de Lahavi Lahu Treu Tre, Lagam Emni Lahu Lahani Aden, the army star passim Afilu Nid Kayam Hashtar.
Afilu of the Sky Mashtar. Okay, so here, you know, we're very, very excited.
The Armina and Aden Achasim and Alashtar, Lahi Yodim Shu Star Passim or Star Amana, Shaloh Dasam Lokovil Keach, Hilkach Kedin Katim Vachadim Veninso Aden Elusha Ma'amidim Shalokach Hodab of Nahem Shu Star Passim.
So this is terrific language. The only question is, what does Rabbeinu Yonah mean it in a fundamental legal way, which I think he does, or not? It's a little bit, but the language is amazing. Right? Meaning the problem in Rabbeinu Yonah is the comment, you know, for all we know, they're not, you know, maybe lo hayu yodim shehu shtar pasim or shtar amana. That part's a little bit pragmatic, but not really. I think what he's really saying is, if we knew, you know, that if implicitly, let's say, there was an accusation here, and it's a little bit ironic, you know, then maybe there would be a stira, and if there was a stira, it would be trey, right? Although, again, you could have said the opposite in a way, because then you get to the Tosis problem, you know, why aren't they just saying you're Rishayim, right? But let's say you get past that one, right? So then, because it's the Chafetz Shel Shtar, let's say, and then we're saying, well, you know, then it would be a stira. But if there's a compatibility between saying, you know, that this is a mana, right, and not accusing them of anything, so maybe this is just a clarification. But that's a Reish Lakish halach already. And that's what he means by the words. Milsach Riti Kamisadi is a powerful, has powerful, you know, connotation. Like you would say, Tnai Milsach Riti. Like, this is an extraneous thing. This isn't intrinsic. If it was intrinsic, because it's either, you know, it's mutually exclusive, that's trey. But since it's not intrinsic, yeah.
Couldn't you read lo hayyodim, like are you saying right now?
Like what?
This is an extraneous part of the shtar. That's not integral to, like, the...
Yeah. And I'm saying, therefore, it's not a Reish Lakish, bro. This doesn't contradict Reish Lakish. It just says Reish Lakish. Now, again, would Reish Lakish have defended Amana if there weren't Edim accusing? Sure. Like, you should be choshesh when you have a star. They're going to say, oh, well, Reish Lakish doesn't apply to Amana. For all we know, it's Amana. We should always have need for... No. Because Reish Lakish says Hakol Behekshar Nasa. But, you know, once we have any kind of attack, you know, so now we're trying to... We don't have to say it's all or nothing. If it was all or nothing, but what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, which is so great, is that if it was all or nothing, because there's no way to be miyashev, you know, even not from a Reish Lakish point of view, right, then it would be trey, which is an enormous chiddush. It really is. When you have, you know, real Edom against a piece of paper. You say, but no, since it's always possible, like if you were to dig up these Edom and to ask them, or it doesn't matter. I mean, once in light of the evidence of the trey, since there's no stira, ironically, so we're saying Reish Lakish doesn't extend to that. That's what we're saying. That's built. The use of expression Milsach Riti is perfect. You know.
Is that also Lo Yudim? Lo Yudim doesn't have to be a practical.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We don't know that Lo Yudim, and therefore it's not a stira. It's a Milsach Riti, right? The Einam Makhishin Klal Edus HaEdim Shebishtar. That's terrific, right? The Velo Soser Misdivrayim. Haga atzmacha ilu hoda halokeach b'fanenu v'amar shtar amanu huzeh im lo mehemen halo dos baldim kemedim dami areidim alalu mid. Assuming also dos baldim kemedim dami is in the skybus, right? Like the he's assuming it's a real nemanus. He's saying areidim alalu miidim shemocher v'alokeach bo v'yomer shtar amanu huzeh o achar chasimas hashtar o kodim chasim. That's also interesting. The two achar or kodim chasimas. So does that matter?
The Eidim Aksumim Bo V'lo Yadu B'dat, meaning if there's a compatibility, the fact that there can be a compatibility of both of these things being true means that it's not part of the core Reish Lakish, it's part of the expanse of Reish Lakish. So that's fine until there's pressure. Once there's pressure, it's like saying, you know, again, for the Rambam, that Shtar Chav Yadim Ayboi is a din of Eidos. But again, no one's ever going to say that if two Eidim come along and they say, you know, that it was, you know, Ra'inu Shehu Para, no one's going to say that's Trey or Trey. That would be ridiculous. Right? So is it that, of course, because that's Omed Lepiron. This is not Omed Liel Samana. Right? But in its own way, it is a bigger Chiddush. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be saying. It's just remarkable. Then, again, I think you could have argued with this point. Miyuim hayu edim alalim beedim sha'edim b'shtar yadu shamanahu afal b'kein chasmu havadei havalei akchasha v'amilan treyu treyim. That part, I think, once you've said the rest of it, right, Akiva? That's, I think that's what you were kind of asking. That I would have said, whoever wrote the comments on the side of the thing, looks like my handwriting. Yitachein l'chalek. Okay. You know, But, I mean, that part, like, if you're going this far already and saying what you're saying, you know, so just go for it. Because, again, the Gemara doesn't... Part of the charm of all this is the Gemara's not Mechalek. So when you need to be Mechalek in order to be Miyashev, that's one thing. But the whole point is, you know, Shiny Amano. Here he's saying Shiny Amano. Previously he was saying Shiny Edim Chitzonim. I think both could be the Shiny Edim Chitzonim, number one, with... the weaker migus, you know, Enemazuya was clearly technical. The rach, I think, was fundamental, and this distinction between amana and psulim, I think, is fundamental. So having said that, I want to talk about Reb Chaim for a minute. I mentioned Reb Chaim the other day. I didn't give you to look at because it's another, you know, I wanted to move on, but let's just talk about it very quickly. Anybody have to look at it, or? No? I said Reb Chaim also reads like Tosis, the Gemara, on Yud Ches Amud Beis. So I figured I'd throw that tidbit out and no one would be able to, like, you know, stave off their, like, curiosity. So I figured, but I don't want to impose. Okay, so let me just talk about a couple of lines. But this, of course, again, totally, totally within Reb Chaim's, you know, worldview. As I say, it's all over the Chibur. You know, this assumption that Reish Lakish is a real din of, we had it in Perik Gimel Hilchaseidus, we had it in Perik Hei Hilchaseidus. In other words, the you know, the Pivlon Piksavim one, we had it in the, you know, Enish Rabbat L'Mitzasa one, we had it in the Shlichus, you know, L'Holacha one. You know, again and again and again. So this is a terrific one also. Very hard to read in part. Perik Yud Beis Halacha Gimel. What's Perik Yud Beis Halacha Gimel? Perik Yud Beis Halacha Gimel, we've seen the Rambam, where the Rambam argues with the Ravid, does it get... require kiyum d'rabbanan. If an isha comes to court and she has a get and there's no irabal, can she get married just by holding on, just by showing her get? Or mid'rabbanan, is there a requirement of kiyum? So the Ravid says you need kiyum. And the Rambam says unless there's an error, there's no problem. Correct? So in that Rambam, and again we just, you know, this is the Justin. They call it the Justin Rambam, right? Babal the Irer. We were trying to figure out, you know, is this a case, Yud Beis, Beis, and Gimel? Is this the same as Zayin Beis or not, right? So Babal the Irer, I'm just quoting, Im Amar Lo Nasati Ela Nafal Mimeni Umitza Oso Einanem Sharei Hodesh Akosto Veriyetz Yotze Mitachas Yada. Meaning, if the Taina is Nafal, you know, that she had it because she picked it up because it fell out of my pocket, then, right, since he's not arguing that he didn't write it, he's arguing that he didn't deliver it. Now, if what he's saying is true, then it's not a get, right? But since that's the argument, we don't believe him. Avalim Omar Abal al Tznai or Pikadon,
Obeyed in Mesira.
Ganeinim Gureshas or Havlad Mamzer? Right, that's what we talked about in Zion Base. What is she saying also in this case? That's history until, you know, until the attack comes. So Ubeperik Yadalid though, Hilchmal Babalova, says there the Rambam seems to say that the Shtar is protected even from, right? There it says, Hotzel of Shtar Chov Sheni Yochalakaimo. Right, the Omar Lova Emes Shani Kasafti Shtar Ze Aval Paraitiv O Amonahu O Kasafti Lalavos Vadain Lolavisi. Ah. Right? Kasafti Lalavos Vilolavisi. So how did the Malva end up with it? You know, the answer is I never gave it to him, it fell out of my pocket, whatever. Right? The Koki Yotze Bazea Ho Vimratza. Right, Omar Lahadam, Baremi Piv Niskayim, Hareza Neman vi Shavahasis vi Pater Ad Kan Lashon. So Reb Chaim asks, as do many Achronim, Tzarachian, Maishna Bichos Malvavlova, Kosov Stamba the Beton, Shakosov Lavos Vololava Neman. Right? The claim, you know, when he can't be Mekayim the Shtar, that this is not a good Shtar, because Kosovti Lalavos Vololava, you know, is a valid, meaning it's not protected by Reish Lakish, apparently. Right? But in Hilchos Geirishin, right, in Hilchos Geirishin, the baton, Shanafo Minu Mitzahu, so, Eino Nemon, Maishno Get Mishari Shtaris Mitzarachimnik Far Amdu Bizan Mepharsh. Good. So he starts off by quoting Tosis on Yud Kesel with basic Sunnis that we read, which is, and he read it the same way, which is that, oh, how it's migu keneged aidin. The answer is, when you need kiyum, right, it's not that, you know, it is migu keneged aidin, right? But that's not why it wins. I mean, that's why, not why the shtar is undone. The reason the shtar is undone is because it's a pesha asur, pesha hitir, there's no kiyum. Right? That's what he quotes. He quotes this Tosis, and he says, that's the pshat. Oh, so he says, now, yeshli histapek. So I'm just going to just read you the highlights just for 5 minutes here. Just, you know, and it's a hard, very hard piece. There are some issues that I have with it, but it doesn't matter. I'm picking out the things that are relevant to what we're discussing. Yeshli histapek. What happens when you say, kasafti lalavos v'lolavisi? The same exact thing. Kasafti lalavos velo lavisi. Is it dafka anusim uktanim de lafid devrei metzim ashtar batal de zehu arminu dava mechusar kiyum? Right? Kiva da amri ainz ashtar klal. So it's the same issue that we've been discussing. Meaning, if it's kasaf lalavos velo lavisi, right, then the shtar doesn't work. But does it matter that it doesn't work, you know, because it's chaspa bialma, like mezuyaf or psulim, or anything that doesn't work, any charge, any error? Ah, aval b'kasavti lalavos v'lo lavisi. After all, demoda de etzav ashtar kayam darei adayin ushtar gamur lalavos bo. You could use the shtar. The edim are not inauthentic. It's an authentic shtar. It just hasn't been given yet. So im kein regam lafi devarav. In kan chisaron kiyum klal. But of course, this is the tricky, tricky question. Right? Because the rak that we didn't migu asin and Allah sheinem and lomar lolavisi. And that doesn't help you because it's migu keneged edim? This is what he's assuming. Oh, denema kima de kozman, this is also fascinating. Or no, maybe it is a kiyum problem. Because why? Oh, let me explain. I thought the Odilma originally, like the suffix would be this. On the one hand, from a kiyum point of view, if a person says, kasavti lalavos v'adayin lolavisi, you know, but hechtamti, you know, edim ksherim ala shtar, you know, that could be kiyum. That's not a chaspa v'yama. right? That's the one side of the coin. You can't compare that to mezuyah for even Eidim Psulim. But on the other hand, if you're looking at it from a Reish Lakish point of view, and at the end I think he comes around to this just very obliquely, from a Reish Lakish point of view, for the same reason that it is a kiyum, it also isn't as core a factor, you know, for like an up, you know, the primary or, you know, intrinsic, you know, Reish Lakish treatment. Because there's nothing, you know, there's no stira to having a shtar, de'edei chasima, you know, which hasn't yet been given. So you might say, on the one hand, you know, there's no absence of kiyum, right? And therefore, that should help, you know, the shtar holder. But on the other hand, the Reish Lakish, which is his defense, is also weaker, right? Albeit for the same reason, but on the other side of the coin. Everybody with me? That's not what he initially says. What he says is, but I think it's kind of what he's saying. O denema, kiven de kozman shalalava v'lamasur l'malva, he says it almost in the opposite way, imken akati lo nigmar edus shabishtar, the enkan edus shalhalva. He has a different kakira. He's saying, until you actually hand it over to the malva, there's no Reish Lakish, not because of the reason I just gave, which is, I think, a valid reason. Namely, that's a secondary, not a primary, you know, chefsa shaledus. That's my argument. His argument is, you don't have Reish Lakish because without handing over the claim that you didn't hand over to the malva is another way of saying that the edus shabishtar is incomplete. Is that true? Well, it is if the Tfisas Baal Ashtar is part of what makes an Eidos. Right? But listen to the language, so perfect for Lishitasa. Akati lo nigmar Eidos. What do you mean? The Eidos Chasima signed in good faith. It's always like that. Right? They sign and it hasn't yet been given over. So the giving over of the paper, piece of paper, is the Gemar Eidos? Not for anybody else, it isn't, but it is for Reb Chaim. You did. You look like you're
the Gemar Eidus or the Gemar Shtar.
The Gemar Eidus Shabishtar. You know, I'll read the language. That's why I'm excited. O denema kiven de kozman shalalava v'lamaser l'malva imkein akati lo nigmar Eidus Shabishtar. Again, this Gavra Eid, who signed his, you know, in good faith, you know, he did what he did a long time ago. So whether or not what he did constitutes Eidos is determined by what the Malva then does with it? Yes, of course. That's what Reish Lakish is really all about. So I think there are really two strikes, there are two issues, my point and this point. But this point is a uniquely Reb Chaim point. The Enkan Eidos Shalhalva. Right? Again, the Sivas might agree with it too, but for a different reason. You'd say, oh, you don't have the Anansadi. Right? Or something like that. Although the other guy claims that he did receive the Shtar, so I'm not sure. Imkein Shuvam Rinan, Kivin Delefi Dvara, the Enkan Eidos Klal. You did, yeah? Since you were concerned? Not no Shtar. Kivin Delefi Dvara, Enkan Eidos Klal. Okay. Alkein shuv lo tzarchinam v'din migu klal. Right? V'din b'chusar kiyum bey, da kiyum ein b'mamish. Meaning, the problem isn't that there's no kiyum. There's a kiyum, but kiyum on what? Kiyum on a piece of paper. It's chaspa b'alma, not because there's no kiyum. It's chaspa b'alma because there's no Reish Lakish. There's no Reish Lakish because the Eidos part of Reish Lakish requires Mesiras Ashtar. That goes back to, you know, our discussion of the Rif and the Ravid and the Ramban, right? Kivin de Kamar Dakati Lake Eidos Shalhava, he's claiming, right, from his point of view, he's saying this is a piece of paper. Not because, you know, it's got Reish Lakish but it needs Kiyum. It's got Kiyum but it doesn't have Reish Lakish or a full Reish Lakish. Vitzor Kiyum. So then he says, Venir de Lefiam Bavur Besugyan, Yates, it's just like, that's why I held it out for the end. The Edom Shomer Mamono Hayudvarenu. So he wants to bring a raya to Kosav Lalabos Vilalava from Amana, which is very similar to that, right? Not exactly the same. It could be better, could be worse. Amana. But it's a similar problem. Namely, it's a potential shtar. It actually was given over, but it was given over not yet to use, right? So im ksav yada miotzim imokam acher, ein namanim. Apparently what we're saying is, you know, that in the case of Amana, we consider it to be an absence of Kiyum. Right? Again, the language. But the Eidos Shabishtar Mi'ida de Einam Amana. Right? This is Reish Lakish. Umimela de lo mahani migolazed de haba neged Eidos Shabishtar. Balkorchok de nemanusan de ink sabyon yotze makamacher is midin chisaron kiyo. Because the Reish Lakish is kai bakaya. Except that I think you can be mechalik between Amana and kosav lalavos v'lalava, even on the question that he's asking. And Kosher came on the question that I'm asking about, which is, in other words, either in the fullness of Reish Lakish or in the Reish Lakish, again, tier one, tier two, tier three, maybe, right? You could be Mechalek. I don't know whether Amana's a perfect Raya. I think it is closer. Amana and Kosev Lalavos are closer than either Ziyuf or psulim, right? But still, it's open question. The third application. So he's equating Kosev Lalavos Velolava, Amana, and also Tznai Hayu B'Dvarenu. Tznai Hayu B'Dvarenu, is that where the Gemara actually uses the expression, maybe? That's where the Gemara uses it. Tznai Milsachriti, the language that Rabbeinu Yonah used about Amana, right? He says, maybe that Tznai also. That's also part of Reish Lakish. V'chein nira mukrach me'od Tznai Hayu B'Dvarenu, din Amana, be'in ksav yonah me'otzim, imakam ha'aker, the dasa sovereign the bixavion of yotzomacher in amonim gam kin buchach bal korka the midin chisaron kiyum asinol. I mean, kiyum means anything that doesn't allow you, right, to overcome, you know, tainos p'tur. B'hasam agam kin hashtar dain kosher v'labos bodari guf hashtar lo nichta bo shum tnai v'gam debiado limcholas atnai. It's all what? Milsachriti. So Tznai Milsachriti is still a problem in the absence of Kiyum. I would have said no. I would have said these are not absence of Kiyum problems. These are problems in tier two, tier one of Reish Lakish. I don't think you could say about Tznai or Amana, you know, that they're problems like Kosev Lalavos V'Lalava in the Gemar Ha'edus of Reish Lakish, that you could say Kosev Lalavos V'Lalava. I'm just weighing in, I'm telling you what Reb Chaim's saying, and I'm just kind of throwing out some other ideas. Elo d'tzor chiyun, me'hal d'mevur b'ksuvas yuntesum et beis, ha'edom v'sh'amr amana o'yudvarenu en amonim, will das har be'rishonim, like the Bali Tosis, that's that, you know, last Tosis that we read, right, so that they say, right, even if you have a migu, gam be'ink savyonim yotzim b'mokam acher, afa gav d'amru anusim ayinu, if you hold like Tosis, or like the Gemara, and this Tosis understands it, namely, that even though there's a migu, being the defense mechanism against Amana, since it is, you know, by every, well, every, at least by you know, by logic, relative to, let's say, psulim, it is a chepta shel shtar, and therefore the Rish Lakish is stronger, right? And therefore even the migu is not going to help you, even according to the chachamim. Im kena im avur mizel ahedya delokiz varenu. The kol shem idam al shtar shenasa ki hulchaso shuv ein bo mishum chisaron kiyu. But again, I wouldn't have said it that way. So I think this is where he transitions closer to what I'm saying. Achein nira, the hasam time of mishum dinei di ika b'hagadasan din chisaron kiyu. So this, I think, is actually a little tamua. He basically wants to suggest that even if you require kiyum as a positive requirement, like this, he's working with Tosas on Yud Ches Amud Beis. Is that what Sosin Yud Ches Amud Beis saying? It's migu b'makom eidin. So it isn't that the migu gives you your victory. It's what? The absence of kiyum. Right? But now he's trying to prove that you have an absence of kiyum in all these other cases too. Or maybe you don't in amana. Like in amana, you don't have an absence of kiyum. That's his latest question. So, you know, you should be stuck with migu b'makom eidim. So he comes up with the following idea. He says, actually, since the eidus part is stronger, this is like both sides of the coin. El delomahani mishum hakchosha sashtar. Imken kozehu ba'mano utnai. The edim omer de basiasam nimsar lemalve shalom bechov. Yal korchak shapir hashtar makchisha mash enken b'kasav lulavos v'lolavisi di leikal zeh shum hakchosha v'hashtar. Tari kaimelon kosvin shtar lelovav imken shuv moel hadin shokisaron kiyum d'neamon al zeh. Mishum de lefi agadason od leke edus shol kiyu bashtar v'shapir neman gam belo migu v'gam lo abnan. Nacht. Mikol shekein anan de kaimelon kamar b'rab lazar di lav time b'deinu meisim atma rasha. What he's basically saying is that there's a way that you could accomplish, even according to Tosas, or this mentality, you could accomplish a defense of the shtar, right, even absent kiyum. Because if you have the equivalent of lo asi al peh, this is what he's saying, lo asi al peh umare shtara, then you don't need kiyum. Now, he's not interpreting, according to Tosas, that every time, you know, it's chaspa b'yalma until you have a kiyum, and therefore you need kiyum. So not saying that. So you only need kiyum when there's a problem. Any slight problem requires kiyum. And then when you don't have the kiyum, you're stuck. However, let's say you have such a powerful Reish Lakish that it's even more powerful than psulim and mezuyah. Right? So then the absence of kiyum is never going to bother you. That's the sugya. He doesn't say it so clearly, but this is what he's saying. That's a sugya in Balvasar Mem Tesav and Aleph. Asi, lo asi edim al peh umare l'shtara. What makes this lo asi edim al peh umare l'shtara? Yeah, that's what the Gemara says it. By amana, by moda'a, maybe by, you could say it, by t'nai. Meaning, because as I said, there's a certain dialectical thing going on, right? On the one hand, now I'm speaking, the Reish Lakish is weaker because it's tier two, because if the question is compatibility, can this be edus and not include that? Sure, because it's more milsachriti, right? But on the other hand, the less the attack is on the core part of the shtar, right, the more, you know, we look at, you know, the Reish Lakish as, like, you know, completely neutralizing the problem. Okay, what's the difference then between, let's say, Hilchos Malva and Hilchos Gittin? That's the last paragraph. This he doesn't elaborate so much, but basically what he's saying is the Rambam is, he doesn't say these words, but the Rambam is a shitaso. The Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin, Perek Yud Beis, is telling you against the Ravid that Mishum Aguna or whatever, that there's no din of Kiyum Shtaros Drabanon in Gittin. All there is in Gittin is what? In Irer Habal, you have to defend. But there's no requirement of Kiyum Shtaros. So he says the following. In Kosav Lalavos Belolava, or Nafal, right? You really only need Kiyum, right? Outside of Hilchos Ishus, in Hilchos Malbo Velova. So there you don't have Kiyum. Right? Because in Kosav Lalavos Belolava, because until you actually hand over the shtar, right, the Reish Lakish doesn't kick in at all. Right? But where you don't need Kiyum, like in Gittin, all you have to do is neutralize error problems. Right? That becomes a different question entirely. Okay. Anyways, the takeaway from all this is that, like Rabbeinu Yonah, like the other things that we were discussing, what emerges is an interesting discussion about, A, you know, when do you need Kiyum? You know, what is the basis for Kiyum, including the completion of Eidos Shebishtar, of Reish Lakish, you know, based on some of these considerations. That's one side of it. What, when you have Kiyum, or if you don't need Kiyum, or just looking at the other side of the ledger, how much is Reish Lakish actually, you know, what is its capacity to neutralize and to defend against these other claims? That is a very much a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, it's tier two, you know, in terms of, you know, the existence of it. On the other hand, you know, because the initial attack, you know, is never about Chaspa B'Alma, so it's less of a catch-22, and the Reish Lakish, you know, is freer, you know, to fully defend. So you have this whole Shchimira, Tnai, Amana, Kosav Lalavos V'Lalava, Anusim, etc. You have this whole, and you can see that part of the evidence is different in terms of Rav Meir, Chachamim, what's considered trey, when you need kiyum, when you have the defense of kiyum. Okay, so now, I know it's very late, so I guess we'll start on Sunday. I want to talk about, not so long, but again, connected to this a little bit, Im Yeshel of Orin Miskayim, because that's just the discussion, especially in the beginning. I'm not going to go into so many details, but in Gittin and in Shar Shtaros, Tanina and Mezuyaf. First, I'll just look at the Rashi here on the Mishnah and the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos. Everybody discusses that. Yiskayim b'chosamav, is it only, you know, error of ziyuf, or is it also, you know, any other error? It talks about issues that we've already discussed. The Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos. But again, this tosis to discuss the relationship between Gittin and Shar Shtaros in terms of Taninan, as well as the Ramban, also quoted by the Ran, if you want to look at the Ran on Gimel Amud Aleph and Daf Yarid. It's really the Ramban and the Chachmei Sfarad on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, you know, what they say. And, you know, if you want to look at the Tosin Ksuvah Tzadi Aleph on days, I'm only going to speak Sunday. I'm not going to go beyond Sunday. I want to try to start on Sunday also at Echonem and Bisurim. So at least Monday, I want to, you know, devote mostly to Echonem and Bisurim, because these are all things that are connected to some of the other things that we've been discussing. So Tanina in a little bit, not the full topic, but if you get to look at the Ramban and Balbasra, Ayin Amud Aleph, that would also be great. So Taninan, Edecha Nem and Bisurim, those Mar Makomos, and then after, our next topic after that will probably go to Ein Eid Nasa Dayan.